Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome and thank you for tuning in to another episode of So NWA, Northwest Arkansas's newest podcast, where we share the stories of those who've been shaped and are shaped by this incredible community. This is your host, Juan Carlos JC. And of course, we have my brother here, Enrique, who's always joining me for these things, and I couldn't thank him enough. How's it going, bro?
Man, I'm doing good, man. It's been a good day. Had a blessed day at work, I want to say. Stayed busy giving the service to our clients. I had a good time.
Oh, good to hear. I know, I think last time when we met sometime last week, I think you were closing on a deal or...
Yeah, so we have our closing next Wednesday. Today, we just got the appraisal back. Value came back well.
Good.
So no problems there. I'm very happy for the clients to move forward to the next step, which would be just finalizing the paperwork, going and doing our final walkthrough. So overall, it's been good, man.
Folks, if you're tuning in for the first time, Enrique and I, when we're not recording for the podcast, we are local realtors in the area. We love helping our clients with their real estate needs. So if you ever need any assistance or any questions in that, we'd love to help, you know, get you that second opinion. And of course, you know, we'd love to be interviewed for the job, right? That's how we look at it, is we want to we want to be that fit for you when it comes to those things. But yeah, please follow and share our social media. Our Instagram handle is SoNWAPodcast. But today we have a special guest with us, and I'm going to allow Enrique to introduce our guest today.
Wow. Well, thank you, Juan Carlos. Yeah. So this guest for me personally, I think he was a big help for me in middle school. I hold him in a very, very special place in my life. He helped me get through it. So our guest today, he is currently residing at Elmwood Middle School as a coach and a facilitator. And at the time, whenever he was my facilitator, he was actually at Oakdale. From Oakdale, he went to Heritage. So he's been all over our Northwest Arkansas area helping several students throughout his career.
Cool.
So everyone, please welcome Coach Smith. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Man, we love it. Thank you, Coach Smith, for being here. I know we've had to reschedule a few times from weather. You know, we had our nice snow break two weeks ago. And then I think Enrique wasn't feeling well on one of those days beforehand. So thank you for being here. Thank you for working with us. We always want to honor and thank our guests for giving us their time.
Right.
You know, so man, thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
No problem.
But as Enrique mentioned, you're a teacher, you're a coach. Yes. Looking at the time now, you just finished up your day more or less. What was today like?
Today was a pretty mellow day. They got a test tomorrow in history. So I teach them US history. So they're all just excited about that. And I say that with the most sarcasm. But no, that, and then just getting ready for spring football to start. So kind of laying out what drills we're wanting these kids to know and just kind of giving them the fundamentals they need to go on and be successful.
Got it.
Did you already do tryouts for the football team, or is that part of your schedule?
So football is unique. Every other sport has tryouts because they're limited in numbers. As you see some footballs, there's kids everywhere on the sideline. And that's because I think football's so challenging. We don't have to have a tryout. It's just if you can stick it out and make it, it kind of cuts people on its own. People that really want it, they'll stick it out. And it's not for everybody, and that's okay. Uh-huh. I understand that. And we always do our best to try to help those young men find maybe what is a good fit for them too. So. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a number on the field as a coach. It's you care about the kid too, whether they made the team or want to quit or not. But you always try to look out for their best interest.
That's a good inside look of it. I never thought of it like that. I didn't know how you said in football when Enrique asked about tryouts. I didn't think of it like that. That's pretty neat.
Yeah,
I think that's true. They're going to get it weeded out from the sport itself, right? In that way, if they really did want it, they're going to stick it out.
Absolutely.
That's cool. I like that. Yeah. Enrique, how about you? I know you said you're closing up on a deal soon, but man, how did everything else go?
Good, man. I mean, just like I said, doing admin stuff, following up with previous clients. Had a good day. Wrapped up that, and then I headed on over to do our episode here with Coach Smith today. So
yeah.
And you, what about how was your day?
So far so good. You know, this past week we've been dog sitting for some friends of ours, and he has been a really good time. He's been such a good dog. His name is Chewy. He's about 7 months old, what they have told us. And man, we will definitely miss him when he leaves. You may or may not hear him, but he's definitely upset right now because he's in his cage as we're recording.
Sounds fired up.
He said, don't leave me right now. But yeah, he should be going back home tomorrow. But my wife and I, we're definitely gonna miss him a lot. So he's a good dog.
That
he's
just tells you need to get your own dog, man.
I know.
Need your own dog.
Yeah. All the dog toys all over the house. It's funny. Yeah, well, it's cool. Well,
if you're worried about maybe like potty training a dog, maybe don't get one that's little. You can always adopt one that's a little older, maybe kind of potty trained.
Yeah.
But I've always liked the experience at least of owning a pet.
Yeah.
I can vouch a doggy door is a lifesaver. We've got an English bulldog and she knows to go in and out that
thing. Just help yourself.
Yeah, once we got her used to that, it's been nice.
Oh, there you go.
That's cool.
So you don't got to let her out to the restroom no more.
That's right. Well, it'll be the middle of the night and I'll hear that thing thumping, that flap. I was like, hey, she had to go.
It's like, you know what? I'm going to go outside and just hang out.
Yeah.
That's how old is your English bulldog?
She is 5, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. She's just kind of typical English bulldog, just a doorstop.
Yeah.
That eats. And that's about it. That's
funny. That is funny.
What's her name? I'm curious.
Yeah. Hazel. Her name is Hazel. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's cute.
She's a good dog. She'll listen, stay right there, doesn't run out the door or anything. So.
Oh, there you go.
I think they know. They know. They're like, man, I don't know. Should I leave? I don't know if I get any food and shelter, you know?
I think so. And then I just think the breed we got, they... 10 steps, that's about maxed out. I don't think she's willing to go more than that.
That's funny. That is pretty funny. Coach, something that we do here in one of the segments that we have here is we always like to kind of ask these open-ended questions or just general questions to our guests and kind of even each other to get to know each other and just have that little fun interaction before we get into the meat of the right?
Sounds good.
I found this I use this generator, you know, just kind of on Google or whatever to ask these questions, but I have them here. One of the questions is how difficult is it for you to try new things? Are you a person that sticks to the same thing and doesn't try anything new, or are you, man, a variety thing?
No, I would. I'm pretty open to trying about anything. Now I'm 45 now, so the older I've gotten, I've got to be more mindful of what my mind can tell me I can do and what my body can handle. So really, that's the only thing that holds me back. When I was in high school, believe it or not, so once football was over, I had some buddies, they would do this little local rodeo. I mean, it was kind of, you paid $20 and you're in. You didn't really have to have any experience, thank goodness, because I didn't. But I was like, all right, I'm going to go ride a Bronco. Took me four times, and I finally stayed on 8 seconds. It wasn't pretty. Got it done. First three got bucked off in a hurry, and one hung on for dear life.
That's funny. Man, you know, riding horses, that's something that that intrigues me, right? Because as a kid, I remember I went to Honduras. I may have been like 7 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather at the time, on my mother's side, he lived up in the mountains, right? Mm-hmm. Like, montañas, right? That's what they call it. And the only way to get to his house was through horseback.
Oh, wow.
And so I remember it was me and my grandfather, and my sister was some other family member of ours behind us. And all I remember is this horse just limping all the way up. Yeah. And I thought that, man, this horse is missing a leg. Like, I'm a little kid. I'm very ignorant to what's wrong with him. Well, anyways, come to find out, the horse didn't have like a horseshoe or nothing. So it was just messing up its hoof. Yeah. So I don't know what they did to that horse. I hope they didn't do what I think they did.
Yeah. Give me some clue.
That's the rumor.
That's what they say, right? Yeah. No, but yeah, that's, I don't know. Horses just intrigue me because I've always been fascinated by that animal. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can create a bond with them. They live for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
They're very athletic and they're very smart, actually.
Absolutely. So
anytime somebody has an experience of riding a horse, it just it captures my attention.
Right. Yeah. You should go to Whistling Springs Brewery out in Missouri. That you can, remember,
that's right.
Kenny and I were talking about that. Where you can, they got a horse. You can ride horses there.
Really?
Yeah. You can grab a beer and ride a horse, or vice versa.
Well, I don't know if I would grab a beer and then go ride a horse. Maybe I'll fall off or something. You know, maybe I'll be careful.
They do it in Honduras.
Well, that's Honduras though. It's a little bit unregulated.
I don't think you get a DUI if you're riding the horse.
Well, true, but you never know, right? I feel like it'd be the same, right?
As long as the horse didn't have anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. That horse has anything, you're done for. It's
yeah,
over.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Man, that's awesome. Well, we also have another question here for you, Coach Smith. And again, it's just for the guests to get to know you and everything.
Sure.
So oftentimes you'll go out to a restaurant or a movie theater or you go out shopping, right?
Right.
And this question kind of entails that a little bit. So how do you usually react if you kind of receive some bad service?
I mean, obvious with everybody, it'll affect the tip they get if it's depending on that. But no, if it's food or something, I mean, heck, I'll say if it's not what I ordered or it's not right, I'll
like send it back.
Yeah, I'm polite about it. I know nobody's perfect. Heck, I make a million mistakes a day. But if it's just terrible, I'll sit there, just give them some suggestions on, hey, maybe next time y'all should try this.
I like it.
And I don't know if that's a teacher and coach in me, but I'm just trying to. If there's a problem, I'm gonna try to fix it or get some suggestion. Yeah,
some feedback.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't like just making noise because it's just noise. If there's a problem and you're just griping about it with no solution, then that's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anything, you're kind of adding right. to whatever's going on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Man. That's funny. Yeah, I remember. What was it like yesterday? 2 days ago, I went to Tropical Smoothie.
Oh,
and I just got like a couple sandwiches and a smoothie. My smoothie was fine. I opened my sandwich and I don't like tomatoes. Maybe that's just me being picky. I don't know. But tomatoes are eh for me. Well, anyways, I opened my sandwich and there's like a thick chunk of just tomatoes in there.
Staring at you.
Yeah. And I was upset and I was like, there's tomatoes in my sandwich right now.
Just look at the receipt.
I did. And it said no tomatoes on there too. Okay. So they got my order right. That was just a common mistake. And I was already far enough away that I didn't really feel like going back. So I just took the tomato and I ate my sandwich a little.
I feel that way with pickles.
And that's a good point. You looked at your receipt because most of the time I will order something and be like, they got this wrong. And my wife she never hesitates to tell me when I've messed up. So she'll be like, no, that's what you said. And I'm like, did I really? Like, okay. I guess that's on me then.
I think it's a conspiracy. I think they just say that. That's what they said.
Maybe.
Like, what?
Get us in trouble?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. How about you with bad service? I'm going to flip it on you.
Yeah. You know, I will send it back or I'll, depending exactly what it was,
right.
You know, and I guess the situation, there's a few instances where more than often I'll just send it back or I think like Enrique, depending what it was. I'll be like, ah, whatever. I'll just wipe the mayonnaise off or something.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of a story, dude. Literally just a few weeks ago, Valentine's Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me and Maritza, we went to Longhorn and it was busy. I mean, it was, there was probably like 30 people in front of, you know, it's Valentine's Day, it's in front of the host stand.
Mm.
And so anyways, we got a seat at the bar. We waited probably a good 30, 40 minutes for the food. Again, not complaining. It's very expected on that day. Got my steak. And it was terrible. And I was like, dude, what do I do? Do I send it back? Wait another like maybe 20, 30 minutes and something like that. I ate about half of it. And I was like, man. But I'll tell you this. I knew it was a bad, I guess you can say it was probably just a bad day. It was one of the first times I've never really said anything about it. I normally would like, hey, dude. But no, it was a bad steak. And I've been going, you know, we go to Longhorn pretty frequently. And I say it's 10 out of 10 every time.
Right.
We've gone there for 4 years. I've never had a bad meal, and that day was probably one of the worst meals I've. And I wasn't feeling good later that night, but
I think
it was just that. But no, normally I will, but I think again, it's not the server's fault. I'm not going to blame the cook necessarily. It's just bad,
right.
That's just me. Yeah, that's just me.
It's funny. My first experience there, and I've never went back. Was and I call that place Pepperhorn Pepper House now, because they put pepper on everything. Like my sister, I went with my sister, my brother-in-law at the time was her boyfriend, me and my younger brother.
Yeah.
And I think either one of the servers was just like ready to quit or something, but like the service was terrible. They literally put pepper in my sister's lemonade, and like the food was just had like a layer of pepper on it. It was real bad, and I didn't enjoy it.
That's really hard to, not hard to believe, sorry, because they have the pepper grinder thing at the table for you to add it.
I speculate now maybe somebody was just like quitting. Right. They're like, oh, I hate this job. I'm going to mess up whoever this person's food is.
Yeah. It's a new cook.
Maybe. I don't know. But I just haven't been back for from what? That time, at least.
You know, we'll have to go, bro.
I'm willing to give it a second chance.
We'll have to go, me and you, have to redeem that Valentine's Day, and then we got to redeem your pepper.
Pepper and the lemonade, I'd have to be more direct on that one.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why we didn't say anything now that I'm thinking about it. I was a younger kid, right? My brother-in-law, I think, was barely 20 at the time. Maybe right. We were shy. I don't know. But we never said anything. We ate our food and
just called it.
We just left. No? But I never went back. So
we'll have to go, bro.
Well, I'm willing to try it again. Yeah. See how it's changed at least.
So, but you know, like I said, those questions are really just some fun questions and they're random. You know, I think every episode they're completely random or so. And I think they're just kind of funny, but coach, you know, as we get into the main discussion, you know, we always like to ask our guest, if you're originally not from Northwest Arkansas, mm-hmm. you know, where or how did you discover Northwest Arkansas? When did you move, or if that was the case, sure. or if your family's from here, things like that?
So I was born and raised in Arkansas, but over in Northeast Arkansas in Batesville.
Okay.
Smaller community, about 10,000 people there. But yeah, I mean, of course, you got the Hogs here, so we would always find mm-hmm. our way to come up for a Hogs game. So was always aware of NWA area. Now, back when I was growing up, I knew it just as Fayetteville. I don't think there was much to Rogers or mm-hmm. the other schools. Heck, I don't think they were much bigger than the town I grew up in at that time. But no, so just kind of roundabout story. Went to school down in Russellville, and just a couple hours away from here. And we'd come up here every now and then. Just to have a good time in college and go to some Hogs games, like I said. And my wife, I met her down there and got married, and she actually worked in a store and then applied for the home office and happened to get a job there. And I'm going to brag on her for a minute. I kind of gave her a hard time, so I'm going to bail myself out. So she's kind of, in my opinion, a success story. She inspires me. She has worked her way up literally from a cashier in the store and is now a senior director at the home office and has just worked wow. her way up. And she really inspires me to do better. Always definitely brings out the better side of me for sure. I mean, that's about it. I've kind of always known about it, and her getting a job up here is what moved me up here.
Wow. Shout out to her. I don't know her name.
Yeah, right. Ashley.
Ashley, yeah. Shout out to Ashley. That's awesome. Yeah. That's definitely a success story. You know, that's hard work, dedication, you know, the grind is mm-hmm. what a lot of people say, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
that's awesome. Congrats yeah. on that. Yeah.
I just feel like it goes to show you, if you put your mind in the right spot, you work real hard and you're real right. diligent and purposeful about what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's going to take you very far.
Oh, absolutely.
And in your wife's case, Ashley, you
know, yeah.
look where she's at now, you know, yeah. starting, like you said, as from a cashier
right.
to a senior director.
Yes. Her
title now.
Yep.
That, to me, that you put it perfectly. It's inspiring. Right.
Yeah.
And so always hearing stories like that for me is helpful.
Right? Right.
Especially since I'm early in my career.
Oh, absolutely.
As a real estate agent.
That's like I tell the kids at school, so you find an excuse to fail or you find an excuse to succeed. It'll be the same event can be that excuse, but it's how are you going to twist it to motivate you or shut you down. So it's just kind of perspective on that.
Powerful, yeah. Honestly, I think both of y'all have a great example of what it used to be, right? What Northwest mm-hmm. Arkansas used to be. If you were coming up here, you know, back, I don't know exactly when, but
yeah, I guess I left that. So it was 2006.
Okay. Yeah. So, man, yep. We have changed so much from that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure you guys got some really good stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember when we moved up here in 2006, people were like, oh, my gosh, it's blown up around here. And then even we bought our house in 2008 out in Centerton, just outside of Bentonville.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking earlier, so I had some kind of statistic to look at, but there was like 9,700 people in 2008 in Centerton, and that population's at 27,000 now. It's wow. It's unbelievable.
Oof.
Okay. Yeah, it's growing a lot here.
Yeah.
I mean, just the growth we're seeing every day. I mean, I think I read a statistic online. I'll look it up here to confirm. I think it's around 47 or 46 people a day are moving.
That sounds about right.
Over here to Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, it's probably more now with all that relocation.
So. Yeah.
You know, that's happening. But no, wow. Yeah, I mean, that's still a lot.
That's a lot of people still mobile.
And say where I'm at, that's just a small, very small chunk of what's going on around here.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome in this area, seeing all that growth and everything. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned, you know, you were born here and raised over on the northeast side and then of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And you came over here, you went down to Russellville, is that what it was?
Yes.
Went to Russellville, yeah. You got married, you came up here, mm-hmm. bought your house in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Did you start your career as a teacher around 2008, or what were you doing there?
So I got my original degree in exercise science from Arkansas Tech and did personal training for a little bit. And then when we moved up here, found out my wife was pregnant with our first kid. Braxton, who's about to graduate this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those things you kind of think, well, if I'm going to train, I'll be working when everybody else is getting off work. So I'm not ever going to be home, right? From there, I always kind of had teaching in the back of my mind. My dad was a teacher and coach. Grandmother was. So kind of come from a family of teachers. But I thought I'd go ahead and chase money a little bit and went and worked for a supplier for Walmart and the didn't like being in a cubicle and mm-hmm. behind a screen. So anyway, fast forward about 6 years, gosh, I was 32 years old before I started teaching. And what I did, decided to get on at the distribution center at Walmart and was lucky enough to get on. And I would work, I think I'd done my hours and I'd figured I could get it slowly knocked out in about 3 years to get my teaching degree. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go with this distribution center. Mm-hmm. I worked the weekend shift, which was Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You'd work 12 to 13 hour shifts. So I'd get my full pay. Mm-hmm. And then that gave me the 4 days during the week. I would drive to U of A and slowly take whatever teaching classes I needed and just kind of slowly plugged away that way and got my teaching degree. And here I am still doing it.
That's so cool.
There you go. Yeah. I like that story.
That great is way
to transition into it.
Yeah.
And I guess from that story, I'm curious to know, I mean, you've been doing it now for a long time. What in that role as a coach and as a facilitator, do you find that you enjoy the most out of your entire career in the position that you're in?
I mean, it's just interacting with the students, teachers. I mean, it's kind of like what you guys do with real estate. I mean, you're in the service industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm not saying that's food service, but you're there to serve the public and you want people mm-hmm. to get what they need out of whatever your lane is that you're operating in, real estate or education. You want to be able to help. You want to be able to help kids. And I think the biggest reward is when people like Enrique reach out to you and say, "Hey, coach, you made a big impact." And that's to me better than any bonus or anything that anybody could get. I wouldn't trade it for $1 million. I'll take it if you want.
If I had $1 million, I think I would have already slid into a different bag.
Man, that's I definitely can relate. I talk to people that are on the podcast and even mm-hmm. when I invite people on or try to get more, you know, guests on the podcast, right. and I tell them all the time, just the fact that I can sit with somebody who if it's impacted a friend of mine's life or even in the conversation that we have in this moment, impact my life is worth more than anything, money can buy.
Absolutely.
Just the relationships, the people, you know, coming here and just sitting down with us is that hour is priceless,
mm-hmm.
you know, and anything else that comes from this to you is, you know, completely because right. of what you decide to spend with us.
Well,
you know,
and
that's really what I want it to be.
I always think people, most of the time, people will not remember what kind of clothes you had or what car you drove, but people always remember how you made them feel and what kind of person you were. Yeah. And when you're gone, you better hope you've done enough that it's people have positive memories of you.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's so true because I was 14, 13, 14, whenever I was in your classroom mm-hmm. and I'm 24 now. So that's right. What, 10 years later.
Yeah.
And I still remember the impact that he had. Mm-hmm. And I like to share real quick with our audience, the impact that he had with me. So at the time, my father, he had cancer. He was diagnosed with leukemia. For those of you who don't know, it's kind of like bone marrow cancer or blood cancer, if you will. And I remember I was just sitting in class and I was having a hard time that day.
Mm-hmm.
You noticed right away and you said, "Hey, what's wrong?" And then a little embarrassed, right? But I started crying, you know, but
yeah.
I was worried about my dad. So he takes me out to the hallway and he was there and he comforted me and he gave me a lot of good advice and he, you know, heard out what was going on with me and my family. And I've never forgotten that to this day. And I don't think I ever will. So for those folks out there, you know, if you got somebody like that in your life, let them know, you know, and I'm grateful again, coach, for the opportunity to let you know that in person after 10 years of that moment, I'm appreciative of you for being there for me.
Well, I appreciate you. It's people like you that make it worth it and to see the payoff down the road.
Well, I'm glad I'm able to, I know it's not $1 million, but I'm glad I can give it. No,
I wouldn't trade it. I would not trade it.
Yeah. That's a good story.
Yeah. I just wanted people to know why I hold them on such a high regard. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's what this whole thing is. It's to highlight those people because everyone has a story. And I think as we get to this, as this area continues to grow and become bigger, we want to hear those stories to remember what it was. Mm-hmm. You know, coach's perspective, Enrique's perspective, and then people can tune in and say, "Oh man, I remember Coach Smith. He was on that podcast." But no, that is a great story. It reminds me of Martin, right?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you remember Mr.
Yeah, he's principal over there.
Yeah, now. Yeah. He was actually a guest on one of our episodes.
Okay,
that will release.
That was coming in the next couple of weeks. I think.
Two or three weeks.
2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or so.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so we had him on there as well.
I had to work with him for 1 year at Heritage, and then he moved on up. So
yeah, that was a good episode. What does, you know, as a coach, I don't know too much. I'm not into sports too much.
Sure.
You know, growing up in school, I didn't do that. And I wish I would have. I wish someone would have pushed me to be more in sports. What does a day look like for you as a coach, you know, at Elmwood and a teacher as well? Yeah.
So being at the middle school, right now we've got eighth graders first hour. And so they're, as soon as their season's over, they're technically looked at as freshmen, which they'll be over at the high school next year. So we'll go on the first hour that we'll go work out with the high school coaches. They start at 7 a.m. So we'll get up there. And I've got my youngest son, Wyatt, was an eighth grader. I got the opportunity to coach him at Elmwood this year. So he was an eighth grader. And so I get to go drop him off and still they do a good job making sure that we are involved with those kids still, the high school staff is. And so we get to go and help them out with practice. And it's a good experience still having my son there and being able to see him. But but now we'll do that. And then I'll roll over to Elmwood, usually about 8:15. And then we'll start. I've got a pretty good teaching layout. I've got a PE class. And then throughout the day, I've got three history classes along with like a PLC team time.
Okay.
Stuff like that, but I don't, to say a typical day is not typical would be the best way to say.
Okay.
I guess if you're looking for a description of it, it could be the smoothest day where kids are getting after it, and then there's some days I don't know. Gosh, if there's a full moon and kids were running wild, it just kind of, you never know what's getting thrown at you. But that's what makes the
day good.
It's kind of the same, but it's not.
I hear
if
you.
That makes sense.
It's a little bit different,
right?
Like structurally, it's probably similar, but like the events are where it changed, right? That's kind of how my mind is trying to process it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like going back into what you said you coach your son, right? You had the opportunity to be the coach to your son. I'm curious to know how has that impacted the way the students interact with you or with your son maybe.
So my oldest son Braxton, I went over and coached at Heritage for a little bit when he was I had the opportunity to move up and. It's like, hey, do you want to? He was over at Bentonville at the time, and I was like, hey, would you want to come over? I'm going to coach at the high school. Yeah, he's pretty easy going for it. And he loves it. He's going to graduate from there this year. His personality, I mean, of course, as a coach's kid, I kind of warn him because I was a coach's kid. People are going to think you get favoritism, but you're probably going to have it's probably the opposite. Because as a dad, I was always mindful. I don't want to ever make it look like I'm looking out for my baby boy or anything, you know, I got to be in coach mode when we're coaching. And if anything, I probably find myself being more critical than anything. And the same thing with my youngest son, Wyatt, I always be watching, but from a distance where it doesn't look like I'm just a helicopter parent, but, I've told everybody, it's like, you know, I'm a coach, but I'm his dad first. So, but no, it's been a great experience. Kids, I mean, heck, both have been fortunate to grow up with a good bunch of kids that I care a lot about. And it's, I don't think they've experienced anything that a normal kid wouldn't experience being a coach's son or anything like that.
There you go. Well, I like it. Yeah. I'm just curious because I mean, obviously movies and shows, you see that dynamic. It's right. Over exaggerated at times.
Right. So, of course,
you know, we have Hollywood it up. Yeah, exactly. So we have the first hand look at how it is with your experience with your son directly. So I was always curious about that relationship.
Yeah. I do try to hold back. Like when we're leaving, we got practice and everybody's going to have a bad day. I'm always mindful to try not to say, I'll let them talk about it when they want to. But again, they know. And if you were to ask them, hey, what's Coach Smith like when he's at home? He's just a dad. He doesn't talk about football unless we want to. And I try to, because I know that's, and a kid's athletic career is a small window for most. So I try to, it's like, you know what, we're going to have something else beyond, if I make it all about football, then what's our relationship after when that's over?
Yeah.
What's between us then?
Ooh, that's
good. I've always been mindful of that, to try to compartmentalize, probably would be the best way to say it.
Okay. Does he do anything else? As now that he's graduating, what's life for you looking like?
Braxton got accepted into nursing, so he's going to go into that at U of A. That's so cool. He's still not going to be too far away. I don't know if it's age or just what. I don't know where the years went, and sometimes I'll find myself getting emotional on the way to work just randomly thinking about it. But no, I'm proud of him. And then my youngest son has jumped right in. It was the same situation. Eighth grade, hey, got the opportunity. Would you want to come over? Without hesitating, Wyatt's like, yeah, Dad. And he's come in all A's and B's and just – made friends in a hurry, and
there you go.
And I couldn't be more proud of both of them.
That's awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah, transitioning to a new school, that can always be a little tough, right? So I'm glad that your son was able to make that transition pretty easily and make friends easily, because that always helps that experience be a little less nerve-wracking, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Was it like that whenever you switched schools, like as a new facilitator? I'm curious about that as well.
So when I was teaching, switching from teaching.
Yeah. So when I met you, it was Oakdale, and then you went to Heritage, and then now you're at Elmwood.
And I'm a pretty regimented guy. I kind of like knowing what materials are coming up and all that. It's always nerve wracking that first year you're in a new subject, whether the first 3 years I did world history, U.S. history, and Arkansas history. But you kind of get in your groove and you know what you're going to hit when and where you need to get by Christmas and all that stuff. And then while still at Oakdale, get thrown into PE, and then you kind of seem like the new guy all over again. You're just kind of there, and it's like, can I do anything? Can I help? I'm not sure. And then it's just kind of the same thing. Went into the high school, all of a sudden teaching bigger kids, older kids. You got to interact a little bit differently with them. Which I've enjoyed every minute of it, all ages. But yeah, I mean, just kind of, it's, I guess, about like anything, getting out of routine. I wouldn't put it more stressful than if you usually get coffee every morning, then all of a sudden you don't have coffee that morning, got to deal with milk or orange juice instead.
That's a good way to put it. That's a funny way to
put
it.
But you just know something's a little off.
Right. That's funny, man. So, I mean, we're always talking about, you know, people who are around you. You know, you mentioned your wife, Ashley, you mentioned your two sons.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone in specific you'd like to give a shout out to? And I know shout outs can be a little bit tricky, and we want to let the audience know. Don't feel bad, folks, if you're waiting for your name to come up and your name don't come up. I know he's got you in heart. If you want to say her name, we could be here till next week.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
So, but is there anyone special you want to thank or give a shout out to that's been a big help for you?
I'm absolutely going to skip somebody. So, obviously my parents, big inspiration, and just mention my wife and kids, their reason for what I do. And coworkers, I've been fortunate, every staff I've been on, just to have great people to work with. So I'm not even going to say names, but just any coach I've ever coached with, I've enjoyed it. And same with teachers and administrators. I've just been very fortunate in my career to not have any nightmare stories and work with good people that also want to make me better. But anyway, so I'm not going to name names just because I'm afraid I will skip somebody without a doubt. But.
Which is fair. I mean, I don't blame you, I should say, for feeling like, oh, I don't want to forget no one. Yeah, but for, again, people, if you're listening and you just happen to not get mentioned, don't feel bad. At least, I mean, I wouldn't take it personally if I didn't give me a shout out, but everyone's different.
So, Coach, how long have you been coaching in your teaching career, you know, in that career?
So this is year 13 for me.
So, but do you believe there's a big difference between kids 10 years ago when you were coaching to now?
I can tell you exactly when. COVID.
Oh, COVID.
COVID. There is
2020.
Yeah. There's just the group that was in that area, and my son is in that too, that I've tried to hit kind of reel them back in, you know, just, you know, you get used to being at home, and I get it. Just kind of the looseness of going on your own time. There's kids before that, it was just kind of, my gosh, you're getting in a hurry to get to the bell, and you're, if it's due this day, you're going to try to get it done that day. And, and then afterward, it's kind of, and it's slowly correcting itself, but it's just kind of very fluid kind of feel. I don't know how to describe it. Just, you can tell they were at home a while and just kind of got to do it at their own time.
Yeah.
They were in the comfort zone.
That's right. That's right.
The comfortable spot.
Definitely.
Which you got to be mindful of that, especially if you don't have to be physically anywhere.
Sure. And it's not the kids' fault. I mean, even as there's teachers that are, I think that changed things for everybody, really. Mm-hmm. Even businesses working from home, and there's some that are trying to get people back in the office building now. It's still, it's just across the board. It's not the kids or anything. They're just kind of victim of circumstance, I guess, for everybody. I mean, but everybody's kids are still great. I don't think they all want to, everybody wants to please you. Everybody needs structure. And it's, I think that's across the board, no matter what you do. And anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think I've been seeing some stuff online regarding like actual companies wanting to bring people back in the office. And it's been kind of back and forth, right? Because to your point, people got used to that being at home, and
people getting fired up about having to do it too. Like, what?
Yeah,
back to the office to work.
Yeah, some people are getting mad online.
Yeah,
and it just makes me chuckle because it just makes me laugh. At least I feel like we have a different perspective, right? So I work from home.
Mm-hmm.
Our company, Fathom Realty, we don't have a physical office per se.
Right.
So it when I see people get mad that they have to work, it just makes me laugh a little bit. Because, you know, like I got used to the dynamic of being at home, but not like just sitting there doing anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Pros and cons.
Pros and cons. Absolutely, man. So Coach Smith, I really want to know, is there anything new that you're doing in your career right now or in your personal life compared to last year that you can share or willing to share?
Yeah, career-wise, I've been, speaking of COVID, time I was right time to start working on my master's. So I started that, and I'll be finishing that up in May.
Ooh, congrats. Congrats. Yeah, that's
be able to be an administrator at that point, and which I think that's still way on down the road. I've still got coaching left in me. So, but now career wise, that's probably the biggest thing. Yeah.
What doors would that open for you, for example, like as a facilitator, right? Like, could you maybe step up into like an assistant principal role or principal? Yeah.
So getting that admin degree, it'll allow me to be an assistant principal. Mm-hmm. It always looks good if you're going to be some kind of dean of students or something like that. They like to see that. Even as much as maybe athletic director, just any upper administration. Mm-hmm. It'll open that door up for me.
There you go. That's good.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Congrats on that. When my wife went to get her master's degree, I remember just how hard it was. I mean, I've only had my associates. I haven't got my bachelor's yet. And that's something I actually like to work on. But just to see the dedication of what it costs to do a master's degree or any of the degrees, really, is just something that, applauding for sure. Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to... Heck, I respect anybody. Some of that trade school stuff is...
Oh, very true. Oh, yeah.
And that's intensive. And they'll make more than a teacher will, usually. I know an electrician or somebody like that, man, that's... they get after it, too. So I don't want to throw shade on... I don't want to make it look like just college is the only route.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. No, they do the... That's the backbone, right? Plumbers and electricians.
Oh, yeah.
Welders, things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we need them all.
Well, the trades, I've actually seen an influx of people going towards them because a lot of people are favoring that over college, right? You know, with traditional college, you have your, 4 years of education or more, if I'm not mistaken. With trade school, maybe it's a year, 2 years, or even less, right? So a lot of people like that appeal of the trade school. I think it's less money out of pocket, less time. And
something like your apprenticeships, you're making money, hourly pay while you're... learning.
And, yeah.
And it's a, yeah. But I mean, it's, I don't know. It may be unpopular to say, but I, if, unless you know what you want to do and it requires a degree like teaching or something, then I wouldn't get one just to get one. If you want to be an electrician or firefighter, or mm-hmm. I'm sure yeah. there's some of you want to make your way up to fire chief or something, you may need some kind of degree, but
yeah, they're both, yeah. Again, they're both needed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For their field and whatever, exactly what you said, what they need, depending what role and they're mm-hmm. going to do in the long term. Yeah, definitely. That's a great, yeah, that's.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's what I tell my brother, Diego. Shout out, Diego. I don't know if Diego even listens to these, but Diego, if you're listening, hello there.
To him, too. I remember him.
But, yeah, he's been talking to me about maybe doing, like, construction or something.
Yeah.
And I told him, well, you know, look at maybe, like, what you said, right, an apprenticeship. I mean, you're about to be 18. I mean, they'll hire you at 18. You got to be at least at that age. I told him, if you want to go back to school, you can make it about construction. I think you can get your construction management degree or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell them that all the time. So it's appealing to a lot of folks. Like even my fiance's brothers as well. They do concrete with their dad.
Okay.
Very manual labor, right? But I mean, to your point, it's more appealing, right? It's instead of like for some people, they don't want to wait 4 or 5 years.
Well, you need to enjoy what you're doing. Heck, if you want to be a welder, concrete, that's. There's some people that, my gosh, that make some pretty good money doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the construction, any business with construction, it at least in our area, I think is going to perform very well, mm-hmm. especially with the amount of growth that we're seeing, which is, I think, a perfect segue to what our next segment is. So as you know, this podcast is about our area, Northwest Arkansas.
Right.
We love to highlight the area and give a shout out to this place. And so one thing we like to do is if you've got a friend or family that's never been here before,
right.
if you had to send them on NWA, sure. Northwest Arkansas, what are you going to tell them? What's your go-to spiel for somebody's first time here in the area?
My one thing I tell them is it is a suburb without the city. You got, there is no big city, but everything else you've got, restaurants, I mean, malls, entertainment, whatever you want, top-notch concerts coming in, all that mm-hmm. stuff. Big businesses, but there's no huge city you got to deal with. It's like a big suburb.
That's a good way to put it. Like we've said a few times on previous episodes, right? We consider NWA like all those different cities, right? You got Springdale, Fayetteville, Rogers, Bentonville,
mm-hmm.
Centerton, Pea Ridge. Gosh, there's so many I can't even think of. Yeah. But it's like a collective, right? And there's just so much you can do, and it's not a big city like compared to what, Los Angeles or New York or something. It's a different dynamic. And I think a lot of people appreciate that about the area that we're in.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. So in this area, you mentioned it's like a city, the suburbs out of city. Is that
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that because it pinpoints that there's so many different things you can do. And so I'm curious, what do you like to do the most in this area? Like, let's say on the weekend with your family, what's your favorite thing to do?
So we just bought a camper last year.
Very nice.
So we have started going out, and I've always enjoyed kayaking and all that. So we will, believe it or not, we will drive out. We'll go up into Missouri and do some floating and camping and stuff up there. Of course, you got the Buffalo River that's just a couple hours from mm-hmm. here. It doesn't even seem like that when you drive it. And there's just a lot of, I like being outdoors, moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And then honestly, the fitness center, I'm still trying to stay active and there's plenty of that to do with the biking trails and walking trails. If you want to be outside, there's plenty of that. But those are probably my two things I do the most is when it's hot out
on the river,
I'm going to go float, get out on the river,
nice.
Fish a little bit. And then
fishing.
What's one of your, I'm a big float guy. Where's your go-to, river spot, river float?
For convenience, we go to the Elk River. We try to go during the week because we know how that gets during the weekend.
Yeah.
It's a little wild.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But I like to go during the week when it's a little quieter, which advantage of teaching. Sometimes I'll have a day or two off during the week that we can sneak off down there. But no, we just, believe it or not, first time ever to float the Buffalo was last year, and I'm in love with it. I've already been talking about it since December about going back.
I think it's safe to say that Coach is over the cold weather and snow.
Absolutely.
Have you been over to the Buffalo?
I did. I went camping out there.
I can do a float
trip around my birthday 2 years ago.
Okay.
I went with my fiance, I went with my friend Alan, my cousin, her husband, my sister, her husband, her two kids. And it's funny, her kids are little, right? They're at the time, I think they were 2 and 1.5 years old.
Right.
And she said, never again am I going to bring these two children camping. At least not at the age that they're at right now, because I love my nephews, but they were throwing a real bad fit the whole time.
Well, I'll tell you something. Just get the camper when you can. I said I was 40-something before I could get one, but it is a game changer, because we went this past summer, and it was one of those days. It was Arkansas, July.
That's hot.
One of those you step out of the shower and you're sweating already. You hadn't even done anything. It was that hot out camping, and it was just one of those. It's like, let's go in the camper. We got the AC. Hung out there till it got dark and went back outside. It was nice.
Perfect.
Game changer.
That's cool.
Gotta convince my sister now.
Gotta go get a camera. Let's go halves on it.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned going out at night. That's actually one of his favorite things to do during the summer. For Juan Carlos, he always talks about those Arkansas summer nights. That's
like, dude, it's the weather, man. You got the cicadas out, you know.
I was just about to say.
Dude, the cicadas are louder than some conversations on the square. I mean, they're loud, dude. But I don't know, something it just reminds me of back in the day, like in high school, going out, you know, visiting during the summer when I was after graduating, going out with friends. And it's just something about the weather. It's like, it's warm enough that you feel like I want to do something. Mm. If it's the river, if it's barbecue, you know, in your backyard, like it's not cold, it's still fresh. Like, I don't know. And it just feels like you want to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about Arkansas, nice, man. Back in the day, you could see the sky, the stars a little bit better than you do now.
Yeah,
I do remember that.
Yeah, a little less light pollution.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Coach, what is one of your earliest memories of Northwest Arkansas? You know, and best memories of or best memories of Arkansas?
Gosh, just moving up here, and I mean, we were kind of. My wife had her job at the home office, but even then, it was hourly. It was a secretary job, and just kind of. I kind of see Northwest Arkansas as where I overcame where our family was built, because we had, like I said, I was changing jobs. Of course, that's never cheap to do career changes, but there was a point we get up here. My wife's got a job. I really didn't. So I was trying to find something, and believe it or not, moved up here. One of us making $11 an hour roughly, and the other one looking for a job, and just thinking of where you came from, how we started. And I know I'm kind of bird walking here on this story, but just Northwest Arkansas, I'm kind of proud of us moving up here. And heck, there was a point I had 3 jobs at one time to try to make it when we had my oldest boy, and just to make ends meet, and we overcame that. And gosh, I don't know. Best memories, it's just a collection of overcoming and
coming from maybe like a much smaller town, and then maybe coming here and getting a little bit different, variety of things.
And
the jobs and everything.
Yeah. And then on a lighter note, just gosh, moving up here and seeing how much has changed just in the small time that we've been here. I know the promenade.
Oh, I remember that.
They were still doing dirt work when we moved up here on that. And it's just unbelievable what sprung up over there. Now you got Top Golf and the Amp and everything else around there. Yep. None of those restaurants were there. Yeah. Nothing. And even our house, when we bought it, you could clearly tell it used to be cow pasture still. There were still cow weeds coming up all through our yard. And it's just incredible to see the transformation the area's made. The downtowns, love going down on all the squares. They're so neat, again, with having that urban
kind of
without the city. But then you've also got, it's like you go into any of the squares in Bentonville, Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers. It's like you walk in there, it's like you're in a Norman Rockwell painting, you know, of some. It's just, it doesn't seem real, but it is. It's a good atmosphere that we enjoy.
I sometimes describe say it like this to some people. I'll say, go down to the Bentonville Square. It'll look like something you see from like a Disney movie or something.
Like a Hallmark movie?
Yeah, like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Like during the summer, right? When everything's bloomed and whatever. I was like, it just looks like you just don't believe it. Mm-hmm. It's very, it's getting, you know, they'll have that Compton Hotel being built next to City Hall.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I want to mention downtown Spring, though, real quick. I really like how they've changed recently. Mm-hmm. I remember when we first moved here, I say recently moved here, it was like maybe 3 or 4 years already living here. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't really ever find ourselves in Spring, though.
Yeah.
And we thought it was, no disrespect, we thought it was kind of gross in downtown Spring, though. Like, it was very undeveloped. Like, it looked very abandoned. And right. There was nothing going on. Yeah. And we were like, what is going on in this downtown? Because then I'd compare it to Bentonville and Rogers a little bit.
Yeah.
And it looks so different. But now,
yeah,
their downtown is wonderful. Like, they've expanded so much. And the growth their downtown has seen is...
Dude, they've done so much change in, like, the last 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. 5 years. It's up there.
Dude, it's...
It's cool. It's really cool down there.
I just remember being kind of rinky-dinky. And again, I don't say that in a bad way. Because, that's how I remember it. You know?
Yeah.
But now that they've changed it, I actually find myself more in downtown Springdale every once in a while.
Yeah. I've got that same memory. It's like It's like you walked in the 1920s or something.
It was not developed.
In touch sense is what it looks like.
I just like how much it's changed. I just our whole area. I really do like the growth we're seeing.
Yeah. What, you know, we're talking about downtowns, right? I think I'm curious, and this is one of the questions that we typically ask is, you know, we talk about our downtowns and Springdale, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Rogers, right? What is, Coach, what is one of your favorite spots in the downtowns or just in the area generally, you know, if it's a coffee shop or a restaurant or brewery or, you know, what is one of your favorite things we have here?
Well, I'm a coffee junkie, so I gotta say go-to is Onyx.
Oh, okay.
Or there's a place in Bentonville. I don't know if they have any other Heroes Coffee.
Heroes is good.
Those are both my go-to stops.
What's the drink?
Okay, so I get the Onyx Delight. At Onyx, if I go to Heroes, I get the honey salted caramel.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Both of them get extra shot, of course.
Oh, extra shots.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Man, you don't play. Gotta stay caffeinated.
You don't play.
Give me a double.
Does the caffeine actually do something for you? Does it make you feel a little jittery or does it wake you up at all?
It may be a mental deal, but I feel more awake.
For me, anytime I drink coffee, for me at least, it makes me want to go to sleep. I don't know if something's wrong with me.
You're drinking decaf, bro.
May need to do the opposite then. Get some lavender tea or chamomile and
see if it wakes me up.
That may get you going.
I'm gonna have to try because I'll drink coffee and I'm feeling groggy, and the next day I'm like, oh man, I'm more tired than I drank this,
bro. But you don't like iced coffee?
Not really, dude.
Have you?
I've had some, but when I think of coffee, una taza café, a cup of coffee, I'm thinking it's warm, it's steaming, right? Because when I'm growing up, right, it's funny, and I think this is just a cultural thing, at least in my family. They'll eat their lunch or they'll eat dinner, and they're all like, oh, I'm full,
yeah,
and then they're like, who wants coffee?
It's like the wine. Like, the coffee brings it down.
You know what I mean? I grew up around like my family always drinking coffee after a meal in the evening.
Yeah.
And it was always warm coffee, never iced coffee. So for me, it's just a preference.
I will have some, depending on what I'm eating with. I will have, if I'm having some pie, I will have some hot coffee with it. That's
good. I see. Yeah.
Do you normally drink iced coffee, or
if it's summertime and I'm like headed to work or something, it's gonna be iced just because I know I'm about to be out in the heat. But
okay,
right.
Like me in the winter, you get a little
hot. Yeah. Or if I want to be more predictable, if I'm drinking my iced coffee, I know what temperature that's gonna be. The hot coffee, that's a crapshoot. Is it gonna leave me a blister on my tongue? Am I gonna drink it and it's gonna be start getting cold quick?
You gotta warm it up in 5 minutes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
So how do you feel about Seven Brews?
Oh, I'll stop there too. Yeah, Seven Brews is good.
Some people will say that they're not a fan of Seven Brews.
Right.
Just maybe they're like, it's not strong enough.
Yeah. You
know? I think it's good. I think it's really good. So I'm just curious.
I do have them cut the sugar on. I'll usually ask for half the sugar they usually put in it.
Yeah, it is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It'll give you belly ache for sure.
They do a lot of sweetener in their drinks there at Seven Brew.
Yeah. I'm with you with the Onyx Delight.
Yeah,
I'm with you on the Onyx Delight.
Oh, yeah.
What does that bring?
If I remember right, I think it's cinnamon. Or is this?
There's some cinnamon in it for sure.
And vanilla, I think is what it
is. I don't know. I've got, have you seen the meme from like, what is it? The Hangover, where he's got all the math equations going
on. Oh, yeah.
That's what I do every time I try to sip it. I'm like, what's in this? So I can try to make it at home.
That's funny.
I hadn't been able to crack that code yet, though.
That's funny. But, you know, Coach, as we're wrapping up the episode here, and again, we always thank you so much for being here. A tradition that we have in this podcast is the previous guest it leaves a question for our next guest. And the previous guest, who was it? It was Furman.
Yeah, it was Furman.
Furman had left you the question of, do you believe you're doing enough when you put your head down on the pillows? How he said it in your, you know, right before you're about to go to sleep. Do you feel you conquered your day? Do you feel like you did enough that day?
I always feel like I conquered today, but I never feel like I've done enough. Because I've got a theory that if you feel you're doing enough, well, then you're just going to coast along and be okay. I think you got to always think there's something you didn't quite do enough of, so you can do better the next day and so on. So I don't think I've ever, in my mind, even if I think I've done enough, I've told myself, no, you hadn't. Just because I think you need that drive to keep going and to continue to get better as times change and career change and whatever the future brings. I think if you're not on your toes and you think you've done enough, you're just kind of stagnant.
That's good.
That's true. You don't want to get comfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then what if for a while, you know, somebody was at rock bottom and they worked so hard and they got somewhere where it was a lot better, but then they're comfortable, right? And then they're just staying there. Like you said, they're coasting that comfortable spot. And I don't like being in that spot myself either. So whenever I feel that, I'm like, I got to do something different today.
Yeah.
And so I kind of try to do something different, get going, you know?
Yeah.
So I like how you said that. Very, very, very well put.
Right.
Dang, dude. I love that's it. Good.
Coach, you gotta leave a question now for the next guest.
Yeah. So, it could be any question.
Yeah, it could be something simple
hardcore.
So again, feel free to take your time.
I got one because I always think of this one. If you could go back 20 years, what advice would you give yourself?
I'd be 4 years old. I'd probably tell myself to eat more vegetables.
Well, you'd have to leave a note for yourself then, but I guess depending on age.
Yeah.
You can go back 20 years. What would you tell yourself?
I like that question. I like it.
And I'm going to throw out a caveat. You've only got one sentence and then you're gone. So you've got one question. There can't be any deep explanation.
One statement maybe?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Okay.
I'm a big would you rather guy. So I got to be oddly specific.
I like it though. He's going to get the wheels turning.
That's cool.
Very cool.
I like it'd be like, oh, I'm just, or what would it be?
For you, what would it be for you?
Man.
Because you're 32 right now?
33. 20 years? Oh, 13.
It'd be 13, yeah.
I tell myself.
So while you're thinking, I'd be like, when it comes out, buy Bitcoin.
I got a crazy story about Bitcoin.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I was working at a hotel and I had met this guy. He was a banker and he would be like, hey, there's this new thing, cryptocurrency is like the future. This was back in like 2013.
Yeah.
Like he was like, man, in Bitcoin at the time, it was like $200. And he was like, yeah, I just bought a few coins. He's like, this is the future. He's like, you should buy one too. I was like, oh, cool. I didn't know anything about it. I was like, oh, whatever. I don't even have $200. Like I'm barely surviving, you know? But he's like, yeah, this is going to be the future. I don't even remember his name, to be honest with you, but he was there for like a few months and then he left. I'll never forget that. I was like, dude, this guy, I remember someone talking to me about Bitcoin and saying they bought a few coins already. And I was like, man, I don't know. Again, who knows where he's at and everything, but dang.
You think he still has his Bitcoin?
I think so. I don't know. So,
what was I doing being born during the 2000s, bro? I should have been buying houses.
Sure got your real estate license at 4.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I should have done.
No, you're good.
But yeah, you know, we're pretty much wrapping up here. And again, to our listeners, thanks again for tuning in. Just a friendly reminder, when we're not recording this podcast, you know, we're out helping and servicing our clients with their real estate needs. You know, both me and Juan Carlos here, we're local realtors and we would love the opportunity to interview for the job. To help answer any questions you have, we'd be so honored to help. And again, don't forget to follow us on our social media. Our Instagram is SoNWA Podcast, and you'll find our other pages on there as well. But again, thanks so much for your time. And Coach Mace, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. I
enjoyed it.
Oh, this is definitely fun, and we could do this nonstop. But thank you again, Enrique. Thank you guys. Everyone who tuned in, thank you again. And we'll see you all soon. Take care.